Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woof, woof. Good morning, everybody. Woof, woof. Good Thursday to you. Key, I got to tell you, adrenaline is an incredibly powerful thing because you have been up and chipper and ready to go on no sleep. You said you've up since 11 o'clock last night. I am deeply impressed, my friend.
Yeah, no sleep at all, man. You got to go to work. I mean, that's what I do, you know. Now, doesn't mean that I'm not going to crash and burn when it's all over with.
Man down.
But, you know what was so great about the delivery and everything? I brought her in to, that, right?
Yeah, we heard it. You sent us the video.
Oh yeah, brought her in to the Bob Marley, man. Had to bring her in to Bob. It was good. You know, don't worry, be happy. The whole thing.
Don't worry.
So I played the whole Bob Marley greatest hits the whole time, but I brought her in to, don't worry. It was just like, not a chance. Everything is going to be all right. But it was fun, man. It's fun. Being a pops again is going to be fun.
You never stop. Once you start, you don't stop. Well,
that is a lifetime contract.
London and Vance have been very helpful and supportive and just kind of, you know, right there. They're enjoying it. It's just with joy, and they couldn't wait. And the whole time, because of the COVID-19, the hospital rules have significantly changed, so they could only have one person in the hospital. So they were calling, like, literally, like, nonstop. I'm like, dude, no, the baby is not here yet. No, we're waiting, you know. But it was a quick delivery, and we were home within a day.
Well, it's good to have you back. I'm glad everybody's healthy and happy, and congratulations. Absolutely. Again. The NBA has a date. The NBA is going to start their season at the end of July, and they're going to finish their season sometime around the beginning, or I should say the middle of October. But that doesn't mean necessarily that every player that can come back will come back. Let's take a listen right here to Adrian Wojnarowski, who says that if players do not want to come, they don't have to, but they're not going to get their money.
The union and the league, you know, have essentially agreed on a plan that if players don't want to go to Orlando, they will not have to go. They will not be punished by their teams. Now, they will also not get paid for those missed games. And if there's a player who has a medical question, perhaps is of high risk in that environment or of getting COVID and becoming ill, there'll be an independent medical process for the player to go through, and then he could possibly be excused from it. And even if he's told that he's fit to play, he can still stay home again and do so without getting paid.
How many guys do you think are taking advantage of that? Because I hear what they're saying, and I understand that there probably has to be, for legal purposes, you do not have to come into this environment if you don't want to, and we're not going to penalize you for that. But I would be very, very surprised if we see a great deal, if any, players take advantage of the opportunity to not play.
The guys want to play, right? They want to. That's what they've been waiting to do. They play ball. You know, not so much in the situation for the money part of it, but they playing. They want to play. They want to compete. They want to get it in. You know, guys want to play. And you might have a handful of dudes that like to just talk the talk about being scared and all those sort of things. I was saying something to you guys earlier off air. People talking about, well, I'm scared. I don't want to do. Stay out the damn club then. Stay out the club. Now that everything that opened up, I done seen a number of professional athletes hanging out in the club. Now the clubs are back open in certain places. I done seen a number of them.
What you doing in the club?
I didn't say I was in the club. That's not
you
what
you just
I said.
You saw him.
Well, yeah. I saw.
How'd you see him in the club if you weren't in the club?
Well, social media.
People have social media and videos.
That's my research. That's my area. That's my lane. Uh-huh. In your lane.
But
I'm just checking on you. Listen, there are certainly athletes in the NBA who have legitimate concern because they have pre-existing conditions.
Yes, that's different.
I know the news coverage has led some people to believe that coronavirus has gone away and that race incidents have taken over. But the fact is that racism has always been there, and Corona, she's still there too. And so if you're someone who has battled, you know, some virus or some disease behind closed doors, whether you had cancer treatments, but you didn't want anyone to know about it, or you have some other disease or illness that you're dealing with that's chronic, you're more at risk. So I can certainly understand the players who legitimately have that concern saying, look, there's a second wave. We've already seen a spike has already started to happen, and I'm at risk. I don't feel comfortable. And I'm glad the NBA is going to respect and honor that.
Well, look, yes, I am glad too. But let's be realistic about this. Let's say that you are on one of these teams that has a chance to make a deep run, maybe win a championship run. And the team is telling you, we have a bubble. We are going to test you every day. We're going to make sure that everybody on this team is healthy. We're going to make sure that we're doing every single possible thing to ensure your health. To still at that point say, you know what, I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to leave, and look at your teammates and say, yeah, see you later. That would be hard, man. That would take a very certain type of guy that would be able to say, I'm not going to be with you guys. Because look, we've all been members of teams. We've all been members of groups. It's hard to tell the group, I know you guys are all fighting for this, and I was fighting for this with you, but I can't go any further. I need to pull the plug. I need to go over here for whatever the reason is. And this is about as legitimate a reason as you could ever come up with. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about making somebody in my family sick and maybe worse. Maybe somebody could die because if I get sick and I bring it home. But it's not just as easy to say, oh, I don't have to. Okay, cool. I'm not going to go. That would be a really difficult decision for a player to leave his team under the circumstances.
Well, I don't think players will do that. Like LZ said, there's underlying conditions. There's a few guys in the NBA that have underlying conditions. You certainly would understand their feelings about it. But normal, healthy, everyday athletes, everyday individuals, I don't anticipate anybody saying that they're not going to play.
Well, that's basketball, right? Basketball is saying if you don't want to play, you don't have to play. At least they have a plan in place. Then there's baseball, who here we are, June 11th. We still do not have an agreement between the players and the owners. Rob Manfred has said that he's 100% certain that there's going to be a season. I guess that's something that he thinks there's going to be a season, but there's been no movement. I mean, the proposals going back and forth have essentially been the same proposals that we've started with. And every day that we go down the road is one less day of baseball and one more day likely where we don't get any at all. And everybody's just staring at each other. Nothing's happening.
It's so funny, though. You say that proposals go back and forth. Same damn proposals changed around a few little things here and there. But at the end of the day, it's still the same proposals.
Yes.
That's the funny thing. It's like you wasted everybody's time playing games. Like, just get it done already.
Well, Keith, look. We all know, we've all been through negotiations, deadlines spur movement, right? That's why Rob Manfred needs to say, look, if you guys don't have this done by June 15th, I'm going to do it for you, okay? You're going to hate my decision, and you're going to hate my decision. It's going to be a loss for both of you guys, but I'm not going down. I'm not going to be the guy that let this thing go. You got three more days to figure this out. Figure it out or else, because if there's no deadline, if there's no drop dead date, why am I going to change my negotiating position?
Yeah. I mean, listen, we all know how bad baseball looks. And I'm even willing to think baseball knows how bad it looks right now. The question is, does it care? Do the people in control care more about winning this battle amongst themselves or about saving the sport in terms of its Q rating and how people feel about it? That's what it ultimately boils down to. Which side do they put more stock in? You know, now personally, I would have thought this would have already been hammered out like a month and a half ago. And as soon as the state says we can start playing ball, boom, button is pushed and we're gone. Because I don't know any other way besides finding a solution that's going to work so that we can get back to playing. I don't know the opposite, which is happening, which is, yeah, I know we should be out there playing. I know this is our opportunity to grow our sport, but I'm going to try and get one over and blow up the whole season in the process. I don't understand that mentality.
Maybe that's
it. Confuses me.
Maybe they're not trying to grow the sport. Maybe they're in that position. And by the way, I can't even tell them that they're wrong. Maybe the players and the owners are both saying, We've been through this before, man. We didn't even play a damn World Series. We didn't play a World Series 1 year because we couldn't figure this out. They'll come back. It may take a year or two. Maybe we'll take a short-term hit, but I'm willing to fight for the long term because people love baseball and they'll come back. We don't want to. Baseball's not going to catch the NBA. Baseball's not going to be the NFL. But we're at a pretty good spot right here. The revenues are off the charts. Everybody's making a ton of money. Players are making a ton of money. Owners are making a ton of money. Maybe we make slightly less for the next few years, but baseball always survives. And even if we don't play again, it'll be back. Maybe they both believe that to be true and they just don't care.
And it will be back. It'll be back in a couple years. It'll fans will, if they decided to cancel the season and not play baseball, they'll give the excuse of, about coronavirus, and they'll hijack that and run with that all the way to the end, and they'll come back, and it'll slowly get the fans back in attendance and supporting baseball again. They've done it before. It when everybody said it's going to be a disaster. Baseball isn't going anywhere. It's going to be here to stay. It's just how long will people be sitting around waiting to be a part of what y'all like to call America's pastime.
Key, we were talking about this yesterday, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. The LZ thinks that a 48-50 game season is just silly. It's a throwaway, that it's not worth it. If we're only going to play 50 games, let's not do it at all. Maybe I'm of the opinion anything is better than nothing. And yes, a 50-game regular season and crowning a World Series winner after that and an expanded playoffs would be weird and goofy, and an MVP that comes out of a 50-game season.
Arizona Diamondback, I mean, not the Arizona, Colorado
right.
Rockies win the
the Pirates and the Royals are playing in the World Series. Okay, that would be totally weird. I get that. But would you rather have a weird, goofy fraction of a season or no season?
I'd rather have a fraction of the season. I said 50 games originally was fine until I learned that the owners was trying to get paid for all 162 while the players were only going to get paid for 50. Mm-hmm. 50 is fine. Just get on.
But think about it this way, Keith.
Whatever.
You be fine if they only played 5 football games for an NFL season and then crowned a Super Bowl champion after that?
You almost made me cuss you out just now. It's different, though. It's only 16. It's only 16.
The percentage is the same. Season.
I understand the percentages are the same, but it's only 16 games versus 100 and something. You know, you still get – I mean, versus 50, that's just a big difference. I mean, they get 50 games, and I know after the 50-game mark, teams get hot and all those sort of things. I'm okay with 50. I would be okay with 50. I don't have a problem with it. But will the Red Sox fans have a problem with it? That's the question, Travis.
That's straight trash.
We'll talk about
straight trash.
It's not very many. It's better. I don't like it, but I like it better than zero. We'll talk about all of this with friend of the show, former Dodger, former Angel, Adam Kennedy joins us next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Golf is back, guys. There is a PGA Tour event taking place in Texas. We've got the MLS, which is getting ready to kick off in just a little bit as well. The head coach at LAFC, Bob Bradley, he's going to join us a little bit later on the program. That's coming up at 8:40. The NBA has a plan in place. Every league has a plan in place, with the exception of Major League Baseball. And I keep waiting for Rob Manfred to just say, guys, here's the date. We're starting on this date, because he has the authority to do that, and I don't understand his reluctance. I don't understand his reluctance to flex those muscles. He's not picking a side. He's saying, we're going to play, and then you guys can figure it out.
Yeah, well,
what I really don't get is, one, why was the mandate like 50 games to begin with? Like, that's just trash.
Because it's the okey doke. They're trying
80.
To pull the
okey doke. Mandate half the Mandate half the season at least, because here, and I'm going back to this point, Key, because I just want to drive it home. You're essentially saying you play 5 games in the NFL, and then there's the playoffs, and then there's the Super Bowl. I mean, that's pretty much what you're doing when you say 40 some to 50 in baseball. You're it's so abbreviated, it's hard for me to believe that any baseball fan, let alone any player or team, is going to look at that banner, look at this championship, and feel good about it. You know, it's just hard for me to believe when they know that they didn't even run a race. They basically walked. to the championship
win,
because
it don't matter. You win, you win. It doesn't matter how many games. If you crown champion, you're a champion, man. Take that from them, because if that's the case, then the San Antonio Spurs shouldn't be champions.
Let me ask you this, Keith. Let's say there's an NFL season, like LZ said, with five games, and the team that is 3-2 makes it into the playoffs and then wins three games in a row to win the Super Bowl. They had a 3-2 regular season, and they're the Super Bowl champs. You feel like that's the same thing as running through.
What if they was 9-7 and won the Super Bowl?
It doesn't happen very often. I hear your point. Once in a blue moon, it will, but it doesn't happen very often like that. Baseball last year, the Washington Nationals, after 50 games, would have missed the playoffs. They had one of the worst records in baseball. They ended up winning the World Series because they figured it out over the next 110 games.
Yeah, I just – football has such a, small opportunity with 16. Major League Baseball, basketball, they got plenty of games. So they could squander games. That's why guys rest up in all of those things, because they could afford to take an L, where in football, every game counts and it matters. So it's not the same as apples to apples, even though the percentages are the same.
Yeah, I get it. See, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect, because we'll come back to it. Let's talk with somebody that has been through this whole deal. Adam Kennedy joining us right now, friend of the program, 14-year major league veteran as well. Adam, welcome to the program yet again, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me again.
We going to get baseball? Are they going to figure this out? Are we going to get a season, do you think?
Well, I mean, the owners seem to say so, because they'll be in the driver's seat at the end of the day, correct? Implementing what, the 40-something game season, if it all comes down to no agreement. I mean, at that point, what do the players do? Do they just? I would imagine some won't want to play. So I don't know. I don't know how this thing plays out, but it's been getting uglier by the day. It kind of seems like.
I think if the players make a decision,
what do you do with the division?
I was going to say, if the players decided not to play, that would not only put a black eye on the players, it would be considered selfish, because the fans are hungry for sports. The other leagues figured out how to get it done, didn't make it all about money, but Major League Baseball will put a black eye around them for a couple years. They would rebound, but it certainly would hurt for a couple years.
No, Key, you're 100% right. I mean, and it's going to be tough, because some players are going to not want to play because of health concerns, right? And then if you are a little banged up, people will question, is he really banged up or did he not want to play? So the players are going to be up against it, absolutely. This is kind of the first time the owners are kind of taking a little bit of the blame on this stuff. But you're right. If play does get called to resume and the players don't show up, the fans will definitely hold that against them moving forward, I would imagine.
What do you do with a division title if you won it playing less than 50 games? What do you do with a World Series title if you won it playing less than 60 games? Is that something you think the community as a whole would respect?
Yeah, I would say 50-50. I would say the owners, they'll hang those banners, and they'll promote, ALS champs and World Series champs. But it could be the Baltimore Orioles. You get hot for 45 days and you got the Orioles with the championship. So the owners will definitely hang that banner. The city, I think 50-50, and the players who win will take that ring, but there'll definitely be an asterisk behind the whole season. But, down the road, those banners will be hung, and who knows if people will remember.
Adam, you won the World Series with the Angels in 2002. Obviously, that's a full season. What about you specifically? If you won your World Series after going through 162 games, a full round of playoffs, and winning the World Series ultimately the way that you did, and then somebody kind of backdoors went through 50 games, is his the same as yours?
Probably not, but you kind of would, I guess you'd have to laugh at it or just kind of use it as motivation that you got one under your belt, let's go for another. You would definitely know there was something behind, not the full grind of that 162 and the playoffs. So there would be something to it for sure. But you can only do what you can do, and you take the win and walk away with it, I guess.
When it comes to trust between the owners and the players, you've been around this sport a long time. Was there ever trust and there was a breakdown, or there was never trust as long as you've been involved in professional baseball?
I would say never trust. I did kind of see a little bit turn over the last, you know, maybe 10 years, just because it seemed like money was so great on both sides, right? You know, Artie, you know, bought the Angels for, you know, what 175 or something around there, and then, you know, his value is in the billions. So the money is great, you know, and the players' salaries are rising. So for that aspect, I think it repaired a lot of that. But now with this going on and that idiot DeWitt coming and saying that he makes no money being the owner of a baseball team, I mean, I guess billionaires think they're all smarter than us, right? But how disrespectful is that to the players to say they're not making them any money when he bought it for 150, they're valued at 2.2 now? I'd say that's pretty good return on your money. So tough stuff to listen to them. And when they say that stuff, it's like, how dumb do you think we all are, you know? So I don't know. I thought there was some repair there for a little while, but I don't know about now.
Adam Kennedy joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline, 14-year Major League veteran. And Adam, I've always been struck by how steadfast the members of the Major League Baseball Players Union are, that they do not speak out of school. They do not offer their own commentary outside of their union representatives. And the reason you guys win all of these standoffs is because you don't break ranks. What about privately? When you're having those meetings with your team rep, when you're having those meetings among your fellow teammates, is there a, hey, man, I just want to play. Can we make a deal here? Can we concede a little bit? I just want to get back on. Or is everybody always on the same page the way it appears publicly?
The leaders of our union, when I was playing, there was two different leaders, and they were so smart. When they walked in the room, they commanded the room. And when they spoke, every word they said, you hung on and you understood. They had done their research. They were both lawyers, and they knew what they were talking, and as they spoke, you knew you were in great hands, and there was really never any doubt. In any meeting, in all my years, I never felt any divide. There was never a vote to get anybody out, and I don't think that's the case right now. So it's a little worrisome moving forward into the next CBA. I don't know if Tony has that same connection with the players. It wasn't like that when we were playing. We trusted in our leadership, and they spoke well, and it was a great connection. I don't know if they have that now. You know, I know they have votes to change leadership. I don't know how that will play out, but I don't know if they exactly have the connection that they need moving into a situation like this and then to the next CBA.
Adam, I have one last question for you. It's a fairly important question, so I want you to think long and hard on it. What is the worst movie sequel you've ever seen in your life?
That's a good question. The worst movie sequel. I will say Bad Boys is probably one of my top movies. Two was okay. I heard three was not even worth my time, so I never went that route.
Have you ever seen Caddyshack 2, Adam?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Return of Jaws?
Definitely not.
See, these are so bad, Adam hasn't even gotten to see them.
I did make it through Tiger King for you guys.
Oh, and?
Yeah, that's good.
And that was okay. It was okay. You know, I mean, I can't really relate with those people that much. So after a couple episodes, I'm like, I don't get, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we don't want very many people relating with them, because that sends a bad message.
Adam Kennedy, 14 years in the major leagues, friend of the program. Adam, appreciate you coming on with us this morning. Thanks a bunch.
All right, you guys, hang in there.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. It was interesting to hear him say that he doesn't know if Tony Clark has that relationship that he had with his player reps and his organization. I've always wanted to know. Those guys never break ranks, and I think that's why they always win. And here we are. We'll continue that conversation and whether or not you have more faith that we might get a baseball season coming back. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
You know, Key, we were talking a little bit during the break there, and we had the conversation on the show yesterday about Dabo Swinney and him trying to explain his Football Matters t-shirts and him trying to explain that his assistant coach who used the N-word was just repeating what he heard one of his players say, so that he would never allow one of his coaches to call a player that name, that he would be fired immediately, yet here he still is because he repeated what a player said.
And see, that drives me crazy. The you can say it, but we can't. You can say the rap lyrics, but we can't. You can talk to one another, but we can't. Y'all say this to each other when y'all say it, but as soon as we say it, we get mad. Y'all get mad. And then he used it. Dabo hurt my heart, man. I was a huge Dabo fan. Dabo treated me good when he was recruiting my son. But now I got to reevaluate that. Just based on, like, dude, what are you talking about? You coming up with excuses about the T-shirt, Football Matters. Like, you wearing a T-shirt. Man, I don't even know. You wearing a T-shirt with Football Matters when you know damn well it's a million protests out here going on with Black Lives Matter. And I just don't get it.
Did you get a chance to hear his – obviously having the baby, you've probably been a little unplugged. Did you get a chance to hear Dabo's explanation about why he did not fire his coach who repeated the word?
I read it. I did not hear
him. I want you to listen to it because I want to get your take on whether or not you think the tone and the context of the story changes your mind at all. Here's Dabo trying to explain the situation that took place.
I would fire a coach immediately if he called a player an N-word. No questions asked. That did not happen. Absolutely did not happen. That has not happened. A story broke this week, and the story was not in context, but what happened was I didn't know anything about it. It was a coach and his player, Coach Pierman and DJ, off doing a drill in a part of the field. Wasn't in front of the whole team or anything like that. And Coach Pierman was correcting DJ. He didn't do the right thing. And I think DJ or another player was talking to DJ, or DJ was yelling at the player. And DJ, you know, said something he probably shouldn't have said. And he said, you know, I blocked the wrong effing N-word. And Coach Pierman, you know, thought he was saying it to him. And he's mad and he reacted. And he basically, in correcting him, repeated the phrase. And he said, we don't say we blocked the wrong effing N-word. And he repeated it. And he shouldn't have done that. There's no excuse for even saying that. It doesn't matter what the context is. But there is a big difference. He did not call someone an N-word.
Is there a difference, Key?
There is.
So
there is,
which one difference is it?
There is a difference, though. And you know what the difference is? Don't say it. Period. Whether it's coming out of a player's mouth to another player that's black, it ain't for you to say. Period. It's just not. And there's no excuse that he would use to say he didn't say it to a player. So the fact that he didn't say it to a player makes it okay that it came out his mouth. So he could just go down the street and just say it, huh? N-word, 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 N-word. It's cool. He could just walk down the street and just say it. Because he ain't saying it to nobody. He's just saying it. So it's okay to do that, Travis?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's absolute garbage.
It's garbage. Absolute, guess what Iowa did?
It's garbage.
Iowa heard enough from former players that they put their strength and conditioning coach, the highest paid strength and conditioning coach in college sports, on leave until they fire him, because, you know, that's the next thing.
Right.
They said, no, we're not getting ready. No, we don't want people thinking, you gone, man. We got to get rid of you. But we're going to do it legitimately, and we're going to do it a certain way, because we don't want you firing back at us with some legal stuff, so we just going to do it and let the investigation play out, but we all know what it's going to end at. And Dabo's still standing by, holding by. And
because he knows he's not going to get fired, because he knows they're not coming for him, because he wins a bunch of football games. He's a good football coach.
To them brothers, stop going down there and playing for him. See, that's what he ain't. He don't realize that, though. See, Dalbo obviously think it's Dalbo. He don't realize them Sammy Watkins and Deshaun Watsons and them
Hopkins.
Hopkins and them Simmonses and them T. Higginses. When them brothers say, nah, you know what, man, I'm gonna go to Georgia Tech instead, he gonna feel it. Cause you better believe the nasty recruiting is getting ready to take place. If it hadn't already started. Why are you gonna go play for a coach like that? Why you wanna he up against it. Dalbo know better, man. He know better.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Because he's been doing this basically since the knee. Making these kind of little slickery marks, double standards, hypocrisy. And as long as he's winning and he smiles and he's got a little country accent when he does his interviews with whoever he does them with, you know, he gets a pass. But the reality is that this is emblematic of the culture down there, of what he finds acceptable in his football program. He knows instinctively saying the N-word for a white person in any situation is wrong, which is why he didn't repeat the word. But something else was revealed in that conversation too, which is the fact that he let you know he has tolerance for white people saying the N-word. See, that's the other wrinkle. He's tolerant of that. He didn't say, I'd never heard it before. I was shocked. He didn't say any of that. No, he broke you down the differences. So that means he's aware of the difference of when a white person says it at a black person and when they say it just amongst friends as we're having drinks in the golf course. I mean, he's letting you know a little bit about how he's living. Now, remember, I'm not conflating that with calling him a racist. But what I am saying is he just showed us he has a certain degree of comfort with a white person saying the N-word because of how he described it in that interview, but more importantly, the lack of punishment when it happened. He said he didn't know what happened. When he became aware of what happened, he didn't do anything about it. So he's comfortable with it. That's what he is.
Keith, do you really think guys will not go there? Because, look, I get why they wouldn't, but I also get why they still would. They win. I'm going to go to the NFL. I'm going to be a high draft pick. That this is as high of a profile spot that I can be in right now. Because the Clemson program, along with Alabama and Ohio State, is on that very thin tier of three or four or five teams that's in the mix for the national title every year.
People go to Ole Miss. And they had Klansmen protested on the steps of the university just several years ago. So people are going to go there, but he's going to miss out on a lot of big fish that he would have gotten otherwise. He's certainly going to miss, and he's going to miss because of this. Don't get it twisted. Everybody ain't going to run there just because they win. Some people, family have values, especially in certain situations in the South where his mainstay like Florida and some of them brothers that's down there that can run and jump and catch and help you get 10-year deals. They family members are going to say, nah, you know what, man? You might as well go to Florida. You might as well go to Florida State. You might as well go to Alabama. You might as well go. That's what's going to happen. Me personally, I wouldn't send my son there.
It's going to take some time, though. If it's going to have to take guys deciding, like you said you would, to not go to Clemson, I'm not going to send my son there. I'm not going to send him there. I'll send him over there. They can have just the same opportunities.
It's going to affect. Watch what I tell you. It's going to affect their recruiting cycle this year. And watch what I tell you. You're going to be like, damn, Clemson missing out on a lot of guys. Watch.
So why doesn't he get that? If that's true, why doesn't he understand that? Oh, you know what? I got to get rid of this guy. I got to get rid of this guy because if I let him stay, I'm not going to get the players.
Because he thinks it's about him. He's not worried about the players. He's not worried about the players. Because if he was worried about the players, that coach would have been fired. Instantly.
It is so revealing. And this is what I'm saying. It's part of the culture, man. It's part of the culture. And this industry is going to have to try and pretend that we didn't see what happened. And we have not seen this transpire because we need to do our jobs in terms of the games that are being played. But we see you, Dabo. Thank you for that. Thank
bad
you.
Bad look, man. That's a bad look for him.
I want you to hear his explanation on the T-shirt as well. We'll do that coming up a little bit down the road. But coming up next, we're going to talk with Bob Bradley, the head coach of LAFC, and MLS is back. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, the MLS is Zoom play on July 8th in Orlando. Joining us right now, the head coach of LAFC, Bob Bradley, on the Sprint People's Hotline. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Coach. Good speaking with you. How excited are you to resume play on July 8th down in Orlando? You know it's going to be muggy down there.
It's going to be hot and humid, but we're excited. Certainly, we all missed the game, and I think it's important that we bring the game back to our fans this year. So we're all looking forward to it.
Preparing to start up again after, I believe you guys played two matches before things stopped?
Two league matches.
Two MLS matches?
Yeah, two league matches. But yes.
What is the hardest part for you as a coach in terms of getting these guys fired up again? Is it their fitness? Is it their focus? Like, which part is ground zero for you in terms of getting your team prepared?
Throughout this period, we've had a chance in individual training and small group training to try to keep guys fit. Our performance staff has really done a good job. Gavin Benjafield, Daniel Guzman, these guys have been great. And now just reestablishing our way of playing, our ideas. So we're looking forward. In the next few days, we should be able to begin full training. I think we're a team where the foundation has been built over the first few years. And we have a lot of guys that understand the way we want to play. So I'm confident that we'll get that back quickly.
The way that you guys are going to do things with this kind of World Cup style plan, you know, is it something that you're okay with in how you're getting back at it? Or you really just don't, it doesn't really matter as long as you're playing soccer again?
I think everybody understood that there are challenges to come back this year. And there were some real discussions between the league and the Players Association, similar to what's going on right now in the NBA, making sure that safety comes first. The first three games, which are part of group play there, those games will count towards the overall league games. And then when those three games are over, then they'll finish where the 16 teams go into a knockout phase. So there's challenges in all this, but I think the mentality of our team has always been that we want to win, that we enjoy when we are together training every day, and so we're going to try to take the high road in all of it.
Bob Bradley, head coach at LAFC, joining us here on The Morning Show. Like you mentioned, the formatics, you've got a group stage, and then you have the beginning of the round of 16, the knockouts. Do you go through the group differently than you might during a normal formatted MLS season? Do you prepare your team differently? Do you strategize differently?
The key is going to be to see where we are after a few weeks of full training. Going into that hot weather without having had really a full number of weeks, we're going to have to assess training loads and make decisions. But I still feel like our group's in a good way, and we need to use the next few weeks in the best way possible so that we can go down there and play our football.
And how do you guys plan on making sure that everybody stays healthy so that we get through a season and there's no stopping starting?
That is the best question of all. Like I said, we've tried to keep the guys going with the individual and small group training. There were moments when I don't think they were sure whether we'd get back on the field this year. But you can tell with the announcement that we're going to Orlando that the focus is really good. We've got to build up properly. You know, you can't just throw guys in to 90 minutes if they haven't had the right way to move forward week by week. So we've sat down with our performance staff. We've mapped out our ideas for the next few weeks, and we just have to continue to assess how everybody's doing.
Coach, obviously, you know, the country is really focused in right now on race relations, and the world of sports have had several figures as well as leagues step up in a big way. Soccer is unique because we know internationally there's been a lot of problems in terms of racism directed towards players while they're in the field of play. Not so much as that in the United States, but is there anything that you would like to see MLS do in terms of addressing the issue, whether it's domestically or internationally?
Certainly, around the world, our game has had too many incidents of racism. You're right that we have not had as many in the United States, but let's face it, they still happen. I've been involved at times where I've seen things and they had to be addressed. I think we're all on top of it right now. There's some good dialogue going on since the last time I spoke to you guys. And obviously, we're all looking for the right words, the right actions as a league. I know that there's steps being taken. There's discussion. I just know that from a personal standpoint, listening, trying to understand more. Since we spoke the last time, so many podcasts, I've listened to someone like DeRay McKesson, understand more about Campaign Zero, Eight Can't Wait. I just think that we've got to listen. White people need to listen. We need to understand that now is the time to make change. And what I said to you the last time is, as human beings, there is enough of us that realize this is a problem. And so we've got to find the ways to connect and get things done. And this moment can't just come and go like others. This time has to be different. I do think that so many protests in the last week, a little bit longer, peaceful protests, people coming together of all color, saying now's the time. So MLS needs to be a part of that.
Bob Bradley, the head coach of LAFC, and as you mentioned, Bob, that we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. Have you had a chance to talk to your team collectively about this? And if so, what was that conversation like?
We have talked, and again, it's about listening. We've got some players, intelligent players with strong perspectives. Mark Anthony Kay protested, walked through downtown L.A., has spoken up in good ways. Adama Diamande is Norwegian, but he's played around the world and has dealt with racism. So we have tried as a group to hear what these guys have to say. I go back to the idea that as white people, we've got to listen more. We've got to educate ourselves more. It's way more than, especially when we talk about police reform, it's way more than just thinking that we get a few bad cops out of there and that's going to solve everything. Whenever you have power, power has to have accountability. And certainly police forces around the country, you see efforts that have made to work in better ways within the city, work in more communities, social programs, make sure that that people are on the same page and working together. So as I said earlier, I've tried to listen more and read more just so that my understanding of what's going on and how I can maybe help a little bit more, those are the things that I'm thinking about the most.
Coach, just real quick, if Diamande or Jordan or Mark Anthony Kay or one of your guys comes up to you and says, hey, we want to protest during the national anthem, does the league have a problem with that? Does the franchise have a problem with that? Do you have a problem with that?
The league has just come out with a statement saying that it's everyone's right to protest in a peaceful way. I stand by that. That's what our country is all about. And as a coach, the thing that I've always tried to do with players, I've been lucky. I've coached players from all over the world. And I always want to get to know a player, understand where he comes from, understand his family situation. And then when I work with him, the ability to challenge him to think and be his own man and stand up for what's right. If you're going to create a real partnership with a player, then you have to understand where he's coming from, and then you find the right ways together to help him grow as a person and a player. And so all of these discussions about what's going on and whether players do want to protest, those are important discussions, and as a coach, I always support my players.
The head coach at LAFC, Bob Bradley, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Bob, thanks so much for your time today. Good luck in the reboot of the season. We'll be watching.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
You got it. All right. All sorts of different reactions to the conversation we were just having with Bob. There's NASCAR's reaction. There is Davos Swinney's reaction. There is LeBron James's reaction. And they're all very different from one another. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.